Liberty's leave policy was tremendous. Having the ability to take 16 weeks off, fully paid to bond with my child, was an incredible experience.
At Liberty Mutual, you can find a career that supports you at every step, even baby steps. We offer up to 16 weeks parental leave for new moms and dads. And because not everyone's pathway to parenthood looks the same, we offer robust fertility, surrogacy, and adoption benefits too. Learn more at libertymutualcareers.com and pursue your tomorrow today.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Looney Lewis, and today I have the honor of introducing a phenomenal guest to the show, Ian Reynolds. Ian is a partner and the chief solutions architect at ZipTech, a software development consultancy focusing on helping businesses build custom softwares. They help growth companies, enterprises, and visionary firms solve their core business objectives with agile software development tools. ZipTech's mission is to focus value creation on the client's core business objective. Ian has spent the better part of his career in consulting and has served in diverse industries as finance, oil and gas, retail power, field services, midstream energy, healthcare, pharmaceutical, transactional finance, mergers and acquisitions, restructuring, even e-commerce, and now software development. Ian, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I'm looking forward to hearing your story. So go ahead. Let's drop right in. Tell us about your journey here.
Yeah, so non-traditional background, have a liberal arts degree and jumped into startups right after graduation. And then from there, after about 2 years of that, decided to go into get the MBA, do that track, and then ultimately worked in a very, very, very traditional consulting role. Mm-hmm. And did that for about 5 years. It was a lot of fun, really enjoyed that work, but ultimately wanted to do my own thing. So acquired a software development firm about 3 years ago, 2017, and we have been growing ever since. So that business was established for about 10 years, and we just need some additional help. And so acquired half of it, and that is the story of ZipTech.
Wow.
And my time with it.
Wow. So you actually acquired it, and so you purchased, you took it over, and you don't have the software or background.
Right. Well, so some of the work that I did in the consulting sphere involved deployment of very large software systems, right? So we were doing it for some of these enterprise firms in the Fortune 500. So I had the opportunity to really see how it's done at sort of the extreme end of the scale. Uh-huh. And then had that opportunity to sort of bring that experience back, you know, today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's absolutely corollary, right? If you're really kind of deploying software correctly and following sort of the best, you know, patterns for doing that, it applies to basically however you're doing it. And so a lot of parallels.
Yeah. So it transcends in different segments of the development process.
Correct.
Right. Okay. So with, what makes ZipTech so unique?
So I think the thing that makes us unique is we spend a lot of money and time on training, and we have all of our engineers, project managers, et cetera, in training at least once a week for at least an hour. And one of the things that we recognize as sort of being a necessary component of our space is that basically every 4 years we view it as the team members need to retool. And so that training is a critical component to making sure that our team members are really sort of staying abreast of the latest and greatest technologies, as well as really, really, really being at the top of their game.
I mean, yeah, that keeps you competitive as well.
Very much so.
Yeah. What about your team? So when you acquired the company, you took the team over, or did you do a whole reorg?
In some respects, we did a reorg, right? So the number of employees that we have from when I started is exactly one. And it's not that was intentional, You know, we did know that we needed to change certain team members, but that occurred naturally over time as we grew into the business we are today. So there wasn't a need to, you know, immediately remove team members. Mm-hmm. We sort of let natural attrition take care of that. But actually today we only have one of the original employees that I started with when I was here. So that does tell you that when you're changing things for the better, yeah. Oftentimes you're now some of the engineering resources in terms, I'm talking about sort of like senior management and some of these things. Now, some of the engineering resources, you know, we have had for an extremely long period of time, and we've had, you know, ongoing relationships with those people for, you know, 15 years. So from that standpoint, we're still very much the same company, but sort of structurally how we're delivering services, who those resources are, bigger and better than they've ever been before.
Yeah. And that's a big deal to actually, looking at moving top management around, because whatever the culture is up top, it will affect the rest of the company, right? It's like a domino effect. So for you, what was the, we're looking at leadership here. What was the most impactful way that attrition just kind of happened of it on its own?
You know, I think there's a lot of ways we can talk about that, but I think one of the most important ways is we really just kind of gave people the opportunity to expand their role mm-hmm. and sort of make of it what they will. And the idea being that there's more responsibility here than what there was initially.
Yeah.
And if you want to step into that role, there's also, you know, commensurate pay and, you know, additional benefits that go along with that. And most people we found actually chose to opt themselves out simply because, you know, the role wasn't for them, or they felt that they would be better suited to sticking to other strengths rather than developing new ones.
Well, what they know.
Right. And so we just let that, you know, sort of play out. That's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're going to find that. And I can imagine with the training, if you have a really ambitious individual with the weekly training you're providing, the sky's the limit for growth.
Very much so.
An enhancement. Very much so. Yeah. Very nice. So now give us a little background on APIs and how companies can go about launching their own.
So if you're a company that's maybe tech enabled, or you have a platform and you have a tool that you want to make much more accessible to the market, you can structure your APIs to effectively be hooked into by other folks, either automatically after they've, you know, sort of paid for the subscription and you sort of have tokenized them, or you could structure it in such a way where you're going through an API gateway. There are a number of sort of API gateway sort of management tools like Kong, et cetera, where effectively your tool has a API layer that is only partially exposed to one of these services that is managing the routing. And then from there, you're just saying, like, hey, this user or group of users is provisioned access for this type of structure. And so it's structurally also dependent on, you know, what kind of tools you're using, what is your system built in, right? If you're building something in, say, Python, Ruby, you know, a JavaScript technology, we would expect that you have a sort of formal API layer that's separate from, you know, sort of your application instance, where there's a bit of a decoupled architecture. And for companies that don't have that, we can help sort of facilitate that type of structure.
Hmm. Yeah, that really is one of the keystone attributes. Tell us a little bit about, you provide a lot of different services. I was looking, you know, you do web development, you do mobile app, digital marketing. Tell us about a little bit more about ERP. Do you use SAP for that?
Yeah, we are, generally speaking, technology agnostic. So we're going to do an assessment for our clients that is going to encompass a number of things, right? So if they need to do system selection, system software selection, we're going to sit with them, and they're going to sit with one of our, both our engineering team, our project management team, and then some of our senior management to say, hey, what is the tool that you really need that is going to help you be successful? And then we'll go up to vendors and get quotes for those things, and then talk about what are the sort of technical, what's the technical nature of what you're going to need to accomplish in those, with those objectives. And, you know, is this tool that we can get off the shelf and then customize really going to be ultimately the best thing for you? And we're then basically build a plan that would be purposeful for that implementation, but then also looks sort of 3 to 5 years out to really understand, is that tool really going to be the tool you're going to need in 3 to 5 years? I think a lot of times businesses are focusing on their near-term problems. They're not necessarily focused on what does the next 3 to 5 years look like,
right?
And recognizing that, hey, you know, we may buy a system or implement a system and then need to change, and the result is very negative, of course. And so we want to help companies think sort of down the road as opposed to just sort of the immediate problems.
Yeah, bigger, how to scale. How to scale down the line. Because you're right, entrepreneurs sometimes don't take the time to think big picture.
Right.
30,000 feet. And that's where you come in and you provide that lens.
Exactly.
Per se. Okay. So tell us about the importance of testing, right? Because I just developed an app and I know the testing was rigorous. The testing piece of it was rigorous. I mean, that was majority of the bulk of the time and work went into testing. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about the importance of regression testing and actually testing and getting market research done.
Right. So regression testing is the function of figuring out if I'm going to deploy new code or changes to my code or changes to my application, how do I make sure that the stuff that I've previously built isn't going to get broken when I deploy something new? And there are a couple mechanisms you use to ensure that happens, right? So part of it is, A, you want to have a testing process in place that has effectively a series of checklists that you're going to go through and really make sure that someone is manually testing to make sure that, hey, this core function is not changing or not ceasing to work because of this change. And you're doing that in a environment that is as close to production as possible. And then, of course, you're testing it in production as soon as you deploy. So that's sort of the first and one of the most important components of regression testing. Now, the second piece is you really, really want to have some degree of automated testing, mm-hmm. where you're using a tool like Selenium or you've built some other testing frameworks into the application itself where you're able to run scripts that are going to test as many functions as possible in an automated fashion and make a quick technical determination as to if your code is basically passing muster. Now, typically what's going to happen is you're going to have one or two little things that are break, and then you go in and you're going to make those small changes to improve that in the build. And then from there, run those tests again and then go through manual testing. And most companies that we interact with that are building software are not doing enough testing. And mm-hmm. the result is that they're actually breaking more things than they're able to deploy.
Yeah.
And it's slowing down the software development process. They're actually inhibiting their ability to move quickly by not spending the time upfront to test.
Yeah, having quality control in place. And I ran into that the first 3 months of the app development process. One thing would get fixed, another would be broken. And I just couldn't fathom, because I don't have that background. I just couldn't fathom how that was feasible. But now that you've shed some insight into it, it makes sense, because if you don't have that structure, that testing structure in place, it can easily happen.
Right.
Tell us a little bit now about how do you get up, dress up, and show up, right? What's your morning routine like?
Yeah, so the morning routine is pretty simple. Usually I'm up very, very early because I've got a bunch of little kids. But who knows what time they're going to get up. But
yeah.
The thing that I try to do in the morning is actually not focus on work immediately. What I really try to do is put a lot of attention to what's going on in the news, right? So I try to open the Wall Street Journal. Typically, I do it on an app. Read through sort of what are the big stories for today. Read the business section as much as possible while I'm sort of eating breakfast, brushing teeth, so to speak, and going through that, because it really just helps me contextualize what's sort of going on in the broader market.
Yep.
And then get ahead of trends that may be occurring in my space. And then really kind of the second thing I'm doing is I am checking all of the marketing and sales data that comes in from the night before, or in some cases is live, right? So I'm seeing, hey, are we hitting on all of our marketing metrics? Are we hitting the objectives that the team have set in terms of the number of inbound leads and the quality of those inbound leads, et cetera? And if there is anything off on that, I want to sort of take care of it immediately. And then the third sort of big step I do is I really just try to get through every single email that I can possibly get through for the day very early in the morning. So that lets me focus on high priority objectives for the rest of the day. So I try to do, basically a zero inbox and get my inbox down to, one or two emails that I need to respond to, or maybe I'm just holding it so that I don't have to,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Put a lot of mental energy towards that activity until much later in the day.
Right. Because what you do in the first 20 minutes of the day really sets the tone for the rest of it. So you want to start it with it's chaotic because that will be the energy following the day. It's interesting. You specifically say, you know, no work early on. You don't start the day with emails. You don't start the day with your work agenda, but you kind of take that time for yourself to consume content per se.
Right. It's the most productive use of my time is actually reading and absorbing information and then sort of making a judgment based on that information. And so it's best that it's not consumed with sort of the goings on in the business, because I have team members I've trusted to take care of those things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to be overbearing towards them. I just want to be as helpful as possible.
Right. Unless something comes up. And what about other, you know, things? Entrepreneurs, you know, there's a need for meditation and exercising, and any of that comes into play throughout your day?
Yeah. So, you know, try to exercise 2 or 3 times a week. Just sort of keep that on a routine, right? So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, just keep it simple. Then sort of Tuesday, Thursday, I have other activities that I'm doing, and more so, you know, sort of meeting with friends. I have a number of groups that I participate in that allow me to sort of cultivate those connections and really sort of catch up with folks who are outside of my industry and then also within my industry. And I really attempt to just have all that calendared out well in advance and then define in a sort of to-do list, here's what I'm trying to accomplish and here's how many things I'm trying to accomplish. Because by tracking it, I really have a good sense for how much outreach and how much communication I'm doing.
Right. What is tracked can be measured.
Yeah,
you're able to measure the progress that you're making towards it. Yeah, I'm very goal-oriented, right? You outlined your day, you outlined your week, so you're not wondering what's next.
Correct.
Saving a lot of energy by automating a lot of that. And that's how our body learns. Our brain wants to automate for us so we can be more efficient and be better at solving other problems.
That's right. The brain wants shortcuts. And so I try to structure those in as much as I can.
Yeah. Yeah. No, well done. Go ahead and tell us, Ian, how can we connect with you?
Yeah. So the best way to connect is the website. If you go to zibtech.com, www.zibtech.com. And then if you email hello@zibtech.com, that's probably the best email. And I definitely respond to those.
No, excellent. Yeah. So I will make sure listeners have access to that. Thank you so much for sharing with us today. This has been very insightful.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
Yes.
All right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.